Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another emboldened episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Coming up on today's episode, Tom Williams will be interviewing Stephen Genovese and Eric Lindahl about Bohemian Ensemble Theater's Sideshow. You can also hear an audio review of The Sideshow and The Good Thief. That's all coming up on today's episode. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back, relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago. This is the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of June 5th, 2006. Chicago's Museum of Contemporary Art, or MoCA to you locals out there, have announced their 2006 and 2007 performance season. And it is quite a variety, featuring not only theater, but dance, music, and performance art. Slated to appear is Liz Lehrman Dance Exchange. We also have the Builders Association and D-Box performing some multimedia theater. We have the ResFest Digital Film Festival coming into town. Also, New Music Chicago will be performing Sonic Impact. The virtual reality game Can You See Me Now will be presented by the British group Blast Theory, that comes in November. Solo cellist Maya Beiser will be performing Almost Human, that also comes up in December. And following that act will be Court Theater's Uncle Vanya, that runs from January 11th through February 11th in 2007. We have a dance troupe from Melbourne called Chucky Move. That sounds exciting. Also, the Reggie Wilson Fist and Heel Performance Group will be performing on the stage. The Dave Douglas Quintet follows them, and to cap it all off, the Martha Graham Dance Company will be performing from April 19th through the 21st. And don't forget, the Hip Hop Theater Festival will be returning in the spring. This is a very exciting season, ladies and gentlemen, and quite a variety. Don't forget to check it all out at www.mcachicago.org. Again, that's mcachicago.org. Well, the non-equity Jeff citations are going to be announced tonight, and some of the presenters include quite a list of Chicago theater notoriety. Some of the presenters slated to appear tonight include Tommy Rapley, Joe Faust, Andre Plus, Gregor Mortis, David Zack, Terry Hamilton, Nick Bowling, and PJ Powers. Well, if you get a chance, come on out and see 10 new plays presented by Brown Couch Theater Company. And this year's theme for the 10 new plays is The Mating Game. Brown Couch Theater will be performing at the Viaduct Theater, that's up there around Belmont and Western. These are 10 new plays, ladies and gentlemen, that you can see in one night. Do not miss them. Well, it has been quite a week for the DuPage Theater. After being voted down 4-2 last Thursday by the DuPage Village Board, it seemed like that was the end and the DuPage Theater was destined for demolition. But in what's being called a stunning turn of events, a re-vote on a Thursday night voted 5-1 to reconsider the proposal. This was after the developer took the viewers through a virtual 3D tour of what could be the theater's future. Efforts have been ongoing to save the theater for about the past decade, and the most recent proposal seems to be sticking. The theater was built in 1928 and is on the National Register of Four Historic Places. The turnabout came when village trustee Richard Tross asked developer Rich Curto of RSC and Associates if he would be willing to let the village control who ran the theater. And to Tross's surprise, that answer was yes. You can find out more about this from the Chicago Tribune. Thank you very much, Lynn Neiman, for keeping us up to date. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with more theater news ready to put in your head. Well, until next week, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here is my review of Sideshow. Sideshow, a musical of freakish proportions. Book and lyrics by Bill Russell, music by Henry Krieger, directed by Stephen M. Genovese, produced by Bohemian Theater Ensemble at the Theater Building, Chicago. Sideshow tunefully redefines what it is to be accepted in society. Bohemian Theater Ensemble gave us a terrific wild party last year, and this year they deliver a seldom-seen musical, Sideshow, in an ambitious production filled with wonderful singing, clever dancing, and heartwarming characters. This show is a major summer hit. Kudos to Bohemian Theater Ensemble for selecting Sideshow. This is my first time seeing Sideshow, a 1997 show that only lasted 121 performances on Broadway, yet garnered 4 Tony nominations. But it went up against Ragtime, Lion King, and a revival of Cabaret in a crowded Broadway season. Sideshow has a melodic score with powerful characters and terrific character-specific lyrics, with a book by and lyrics by Bill Russell and music by Henry Krieger. It includes very strong voices from Eric Lindell, who plays Buddy Foster, from Brandon Delquist, who plays Terry Connor, and Aaron Holland, who plays Jake, and the outstanding Vanessa Panarosa and Andrea Prestonaro as Daisy and Violet Hilton, who are the conjoined twins who become a successful vaudeville act in the 1920s and 30s. These are two real people. They also made a couple MGM films, including the 1932 cult classic Freaks. The large ensemble in Bohemian Ensemble's production, led by Russ Rayner and Nicole Pellegrino, offered stylistic dance and rich harmonies that presented well. This is quite an interesting ensemble show. You will see excellent dancing and a lot of terrific movement. Sideshow grabs us from the start with Come Look at the Freaks, number from the Sideshow's Midway. We meet the Siamese twins, Daisy and Violet, who lament that they desire to be like everyone else, which is a terrific duet number, one of several where the twins reveal their deepest emotions. When vaudeville producer Buddy Foster and Terry Connor offer the twins a better life, they jump on the offer with the help of the loving Jake. Jake leads the company in a gospel-like tune called The Devil You Know, which is a warning about venturing out from their comfort zone at the Midway. Company delivers the roaring Say Goodbye to the Freak Show, which was done with style and pizzazz. This is an underrated dance show, and Didier, the choreographer, did a terrific job. The Hilton's initial vaudeville number, We Share Everything, is a soft shoe ditty with a classic hokey vaudeville style. The girls evoke charm despair. The act ends with the powerful anthem, Who Will Love Me As I Am, which is a tremendous song. In Act 2, Daisy and Violet, now sporting blonde wigs and dates with the Follies, land rare songbirds on display, complete with lavish gowns, the boys in white tuxedos that would please Ziegfeld immensely. Eric Lindell, a strong singer, delivers the vaudevillian tune complete with straw hat and cane and dances up a storm with the girls in a extremely clever vaudevillian number called 1 plus 1 equals 3, which is my favorite song from the show. Sideshow deals with love, marriage, and the complications inherent with conjoined twins. Can one or both ever find love and marriage? Who will accept them or let them be who they are? The book deals realistically with these problems. Since the Hilton sisters were real people, Sideshow had to deal with the facts of their lives. The final anthem, I Will Never Leave You, sung by Daisy and Violet, sums up their final acceptance of who and what they are. this is an uplifting ode to all of the, quote, freaks out there to simply be, which should be enough. Sideshow has a wonderful, rich score with telling lyrics filled with many powerful ballads, cute dance numbers, and entertaining songs. Eric Lindell, Brandon Delquist, and Aaron Holland land their vocals richly, while Vanessa Panarosa and Andrea Prestonaro produce haunting melodies in their moving, emotionally strong ballads. They work so well together that unless you look real close, you would think they were conjoined. Sideshow is a marvelous, rare treat worth seeing. Don't miss it. My rating for this show, highly recommended. It is at the Theater Building, Chicago, 1225 West Belmont. Tickets are $20 to $25. And I must say, this is a major production that has the look and feel of a downtown show, but at a fraction of the price. The running time is 2 hours, 25 minutes with intermission. It runs through July 9th. Call 773-327-5252. That's 773-327-5252. Thank you, and remember, go see a play this week. This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here's my review of The Good Thief. The Good Thief by Connor McPherson, directed by John Golick at the Gift Theater. Michael Patrick Thornton's triumphant return to the stage is a lesson in courage and determination. Next to the word courage in the dictionary, there should be a photo of Michael Patrick Thornton. This 27-year-old has endured more pain and suffering over the last few years than most folks accumulate in a lifetime due to a series of near-fatal spinal strokes that left him totally paralyzed. Thornton miraculously battled back, learning to talk and to walk once again. During his personal struggle, his theatrical urges led him to keep the Gift Theater, which he is the co-founder, going through inspirational leadership and his direction of several plays for the group. Thornton never lost his goal to resume his acting career. When the lights come up at the intimate Northwest Side Storefront Theater, we see a tall, thin, bearded man painfully negotiating a walker to center stage, removing his sweatshirt, carefully sitting on a rickety chair while opening his gin bottle. After a long taste and a smart smile, Thornton is ready to tell his tale. By that time, he owns us as we are riveted to his side. He is home where he belongs, on stage, doing an Irish monologue. Michael Patrick Thornton, still suffering but healthy enough to perform, so completely commands the stage that he becomes the paid thug from the depths of Dublin's underworld depicted in Connor McPherson's 1994 65-minute one-act. Like any wild Irish story, The Good Thief is part truth, part Irish blarney, with gobs of subtle Irish humor and loads of truth thrown in. Thornton's tale of a crime gone terribly wrong that leads to a near-death experience and years of physical and emotional damage is grounded in Thornton's actual experience. I now see why he picked The Good Thief to remount his acting career. Thornton quietly tells his tale in between belts from his gin bottle, in an understated, controlled manner, relating how he only attempted to scare Mitchell, not to kill him and his guards. Thornton deftly projects the thug's anger, his remorse, and his sense of irony as he rationalizes his actions on that day. What makes Thornton's performance so compelling, besides his flawless, low-class Dublin brogue, is his subtle sense of ambiguity. Is he an immoral criminal or simply a man caught in a survival mode? Is he love-starved or a cruel animal? Thornton smoothly, with the tilt of his head or the slight change of his tone, moves from irony to remorse to rationalization as he totally thrills us with the thug's story. Only an actor with the craftsmanship and skill Thornton possesses could deliver as powerfully a nuanced performance as he does with this complex McPherson script. The gleam in Thornton's eye and the smile that grows as the story unfolds alerts us to the satisfaction Thornton exudes as he shares his love of performing with our love of wonderful actors. This interaction is infectious. Some have it, most don't. Thornton's charisma is marvelous. He deserves to be on stage, and the stage needs him. When you hear folks cry about where all the new theatrical talents are, Send them the 4802 North Milwaukee to see Michael Patrick Thornton mesmerize audiences. Welcome back to the stage, Michael. The theater certainly has missed you. My rating for The Good Thief, highly recommended. It is at the Gift Theater at 4802 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago. The tickets are $20 to $25. The running time is 65 minutes with no intermission. The show runs through July 1st. Call 773-283-7071. That's 773-283-7071. And let me say, don't miss The Good Thief. Michael Patrick Thornton's tour de force performance, it may be one of the best of the year, and I think he's in award territory with this show. And remember, go see a play this week. Thank you. Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. This week's guest is the director and co-founder of the Bohemian Theater Ensemble, and this is Stephen Genovese.
Hi.
Hello, Stephen.
How are you, Tom? Good to see you.
Right. Tell us a little about Bohemian Theater Group. I remember only seeing one of your shows, and that was the Wild Party that you did about a year ago at Stage Left that was terrific. So tell us about Bohemian Theater Group and about Wild Party and what led you to today's current show.
Sure. Well, Bohemian Theater Ensemble, or Boho Theater as we like to call it, was established in November of 2004. Myself and some other actors basically had gotten together, and I had directed quite a bit in the past as well, but my background is really in acting, and all of us had felt like we needed to create a theater that not only embraced the arts as a whole, but also embraced actors and really allowed, especially new actors. There are a lot of theater companies out here that you see, not necessarily the same actors over and over again, but there aren't enough theaters, we feel, that can give new actors a chance. And that was
so that's one of your, it's why ensemble, you look for ensemble work and you want to include new actors.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the reasons we chose The Wild Party specifically as a musical was, A, we had chosen Andrew Lippa's version, which we felt had been not only underrated, but also underdone. And we felt that it was truly an ensemble piece. I don't think I've ever seen a show that had a harder working ensemble.
Well, it was amazing how you did a musical at Stage Left. And a lot of our listeners have been there. That's like doing it in a closet.
Yeah, yeah.
And you made it work. And you didn't drown out the singers with the band, which was a trick in itself.
Well, especially for seven pieces. Yeah. Yes. Well, and that was one of the things when we knew that was where we were going to do the show. We said, all right, let's build the show around that space. As opposed to pigeonholing it in someplace, we said, this is our space. Let's make it work. And, you know, it couldn't have been more perfect that it was
Quite a hit. I know that most of the critics community enjoyed the show.
We were very fortunate. People were very kind. And and that really led us to choose Sideshow. We'd bounced back and forth between The Wild Party and Sideshow.
Now, Sideshow is your current production.
Correct.
That's here at the theater building.
Correct.
Later on, I'll let you get a little promo
right.
for it.
But, all right.
And I know when I saw it, again, I came to see it for two reasons. One is, I remembered your group doing Wild Party.
Mm-hmm.
So that and the fact that I've never seen Sideshow, I've heard the track and I've seen some of the videos that were on. So tell us why you picked Sideshow and why now.
Well, it really was a matter of it also being something that could be an ensemble piece. Oftentimes musicals like this can be presented as a star vehicle, and that's not really how we approach our productions. All of the ensemble members are really integral to the success of it, and that was really attractive to us. It was also very attractive that nobody's done it around here.
We're having a good season for that. Timeline did Fiorello. You guys are doing Sideshow. Circle has Sweet Swallow Success going, so this is refreshing to see.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. That's
yeah.
really one of the focuses that we want to take as a theater company, is not being afraid of a challenge. and really hitting it as strong as we possibly
can. Well, here the challenge was it's almost sung throughout. Mm-hmm. It's got a controversial subject. Tell us about the show. Give us the plot.
Sure. Well, it's loosely based on real-life conjoined twins, Daisy and Violet Hilton, and basically their rise and fall through life, starting out in a circus sideshow and working.
So that was that was factual.
Absolutely.
Because I know they were big vaudeville stars, and he did an MGM movie, I guess, mm-hmm. called The Freaks in the 30s,
yes.
Right.
And they also did another one called Chained for Life, which was, boy, if you ever want to see a hideous B-movie.
Say that again.
Chained for Life.
Because there's a lot of people listening to this podcast who like obscure movies.
Boy, it is B-movie with a capital B.
Okay.
And they actually enjoyed a more than moderate success in their day. They were making money that, by today's standards, people would be happy to make. But they had to deal with, certainly at that time, the prejudice and the stares and whatnot.
Well, that idea certainly would sing, to use Steve Sondheim's term.
Yes.
And the score. Tell us about I thought the lyrics were very strong in this.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, between...
Who are the writers?
Bill Russell wrote the lyrics, and Henry Krieger wrote the music. And Henry Krieger had written Dreamgirls. Bill Russell has written a lot of more obscure musicals, some with Henry Krieger. And it really was a great combination of music and getting to the heart of all of the characters' situation. And again, are really trying to pull it into an ensemble piece and allowing all of the characters to essentially tell the story of what it means to be normal or different and what that is for each person.
And you know what's amazing about the show is how good it was. And that it failed in New York. It only did, 31 previews, I think 91 performances before
Correct.
It folded. But again, timing, you know, producers, why would you go against Lion King and Ragtime
Absolutely.
And a strong revival of Cabaret?
Absolutely.
That's where I'd kind of hold off on the show.
Well, and it's tough, too, because it's not necessarily the easiest show to market if you push it as two Siamese twins, you know. And I think for us, again, it was a matter of more pulling the aspect of what is it to be normal? What is it to be considered a freak or something different? I mean, every one of us have got some sort of thing that somebody could raise an eyebrow to.
Okay, tell us about some of the people in the show. There's really five leading people in the show, if I count correct.
Correct.
The two girls.
The two twins, Vanessa Panarosa and Andrea Prestonario. Who are just sensational.
They are, and they look alike. It's incredible how they do that.
It's a little eerie, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and how well they stayed in character. I mean, there's not a time, even...
Boy, I'll tell you, and at times I almost wish we could separate them just so people would realize there's no Velcro, there's no belts.
Yeah.
These are two girls that literally walk hip to hip through the entire and dance through
and
the entire
yes.
show.
Yes, they do. Okay.
And vocally, I think they're both stunning. Andrea, unfortunately, had gone through a sinus infection during our tech week, so she was just coming back on our opening night.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it because I did say in my review, and you know that's why I'm not putting the date I review a show.
Sure.
Sometimes, like in a musical, you'll hear someone that's maybe their voice is weak or they crack that day. And, you know, that's what happens in live theater, believe
sure.
that too.
Sure. Well, and these girls are powerhouses. So
they are. So,
yeah,
so that's not going to happen if people go see the
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
Oh,
well,
that's good.
It was a matter of wanting to balance each other. I mean, they're absolutely.
I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because in fairness.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
But
well,
it's not just for the girls, though. You've got some boys in this show.
Absolutely.
And one of them has joined us.
Well, hello.
Hello. I'm Eric Lindahl, and I play Buddy Foster.
And Buddy is one of the two producers who discovered them when they were working in the Freak Show and tried to talk them into going to Broadway's.
Right, that's right.
Or going to the vaudeville circuit.
Exactly. Yeah, Buddy Foster's the young go-getter in a sense, and he brings along Terry, played by Brandon Dahlquist. And he's the one who sees something in the twins, and he gets Terry, the producer, to come to the sideshow and watch. And then gets them on the track to...
He's also kind of smitten by one of the sisters. So I don't want to give away all the plot lines, but it's kind of obvious.
Yeah. He falls a little bit in love with Violet.
And which adds kind of a mystery part of it because you're trying to figure out how that's going to work.
Right.
And then with your counterpart, you know, are you falling in love with one? Is he falling in love with the other? And
right.
how's all that going to work? Which
exactly.
opens up some interesting possibilities.
Yeah, which brings up the question, what's normal again? Who can say where you love or what you love or how you love is dictated by what is around you.
Well, Eric, let me add that I've seen you in a lot of shows, and I think this is the best thing you've done so far.
Well, thank you very
much. I don't know how you feel about it, but I got a big smile going, but you look like you were having fun there.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a fun role. I mean, there's a part of me that is Buddy Foster, the high energy, running around, crazy type person, but there's also there's a strong emotional content.
Yes, and I think you really landed your songs. But my favorite song on the show is in Act Two, where you do the 1-2. What is it? 1 and 1.
1 plus 1 equals 3. Yep.
Where it's you and the girls in an old time vaudeville routine.
Yeah,
that was cute. And give us a couple of the other shows that you've done. I know you've kind of made a history in the last couple of years of doing what I call either the failed or Broadway musicals in remounts. Which, by the way, is kudos to Chicago Theater for doing that. Not only the Boho group, but Circle and Timeline and some of the other non-equity companies who have the vision and the guts to do things that, you know, the Marriotts and Drury Lanes, quite frankly, just haven't done yet.
Right.
But I think, by the way, you should invite someone from Marriott, because sooner or later they ought to do this show. But you guys are beating them to it, setting the standard. But tell us some of the shows you were in, Eric.
Well, I've recently spent a good half a year or so out at Circle working with them, and I worked on Dear World out there, which was another failed. It was more of a, on Broadway, it was more of a star vehicle for Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, that's right.
And what they tried to do at Circle was make it a little more ensemble, have...
Which made it work. Yeah, that's what killed it in New York. I think tone, and that they were trying to sell her to, a little too much.
Right. Yeah, and it wasn't a glamorous role for Angela Lansbury. And that's one thing that people wanted to see. They wanted to see the glamour, but... It's not a glamorous role. It's a beautiful role, but it's not glamorous by any means.
It's a Mad Woman of Chaillot is really what it is, as a musical.
Yep.
Right? Okay, what else did you do?
And I worked on Thou Shalt Not, another failed Broadway show.
That, I enjoyed that. I thought you were very good in that. And again, Circle did a nice job.
It's another difficult subject, and there's still obvious problems with the show itself, which who knows if it'll be revived again just because of. The fact is, I mean, they did some rewrites, and nobody really has bought it up or grabbed it up yet.
Yeah, and it probably would need a little bit more. But, you know, you guys are young enough. You'll end up being in it again probably somewhere else. So you were almost perfect then for this role, because you know how to do these tough roles. I'm getting Stephen to...
He is perfect for the role. I've got to say the...
Yeah, tell us how you went about casting. That's important, because I think you got it right.
Thank you.
And sometimes, you know, I've heard the argument directing is 90% casting.
You know what? I would have to say that's pretty close to true. I'll maybe say 70. I'll give myself 30% for the directing. But you know, it's also about having a great team. Scott Williams, who's the musical director, and Brenda Didier, who is the choreographer.
They're two top drummers.
They're fantastic.
They really
and
are.
When you know the three of us can get together and have a great group of people audition. I mean, we had 120 people audition, and we called back probably 50 people for these roles. We had the pick of the litter. And you know that's pretty awesome. Just
and
to be
you're
able to
non-equity, see. So these are all people who primarily do not make their living as performers.
Absolutely. And you know, for us, the bottom line was give us your best, and we'll give you the trust that you can make this role your own. And it really is. There's a big trust factor involved there. Mm-hmm. We ask for their trust that we have the vision to get the show where it needs to be, and we give them the trust of saying, okay, you've got the talent.
Well,
let's
I
make
thought
this
you
work.
Did well, certainly with Brandon and with Eric's role. But there's one we're missing, the Aaron.
Aaron Holland, yes.
Yes, I thought he was outstanding.
Boy, I'll tell you, he was, again, just another one of those just glimmering little beacons that we were so thrilled to be able to include in our show.
Well, that's terrific. And the ensemble, that is a live snake in there.
That is a live snake, yes. don't let that scare you, anyone, but yes, that is a live snake.
Because it opens with this big freak number. It's a grabber. You know, it's the old traditional Broadway is if you don't grab them with the opening number, you're in trouble.
Let me tell you something, brother. That is my adage 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it really does grab them. And you did a great job with costuming. And,
thank you. And, thank you. Again, it's a great team. This,
yeah, the
this
choreography, too. A lot of people don't realize this is a terrific dance show, too.
Well, and especially for a smaller space. I mean, we've really made this an intimate setting for this. And what Brenda and Andrew have been able to do is fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
And I did not see it when Northlight did it. Mm-hmm. But one of the other critics in town who I talked, but he said they're doing it in the jewel box, in this small little jewel box you did. He said it was even better than at Northlight. That's not a big space.
Because no.
they did it at they didn't do it in the big house on Skokie. They did it in their smaller space. But again, it's still about three times the size of of yours. And he thought that yours held up as well as that.
Well, that was
and that's
really
a big budget equity show.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, again, for us, it's a matter of we don't try and shoehorn something in. We make the show work within whatever our setting is. All right, we had a great set designer, too, that really was able to focus the vision that we all had and concept for the show.
Well, now it's time for a little plug for the show.
All right.
So
then.
It is the Sideshow. Tell us where it's at, what days it's running.
Sure.
It's number to call, a little commercial now.
Sideshow is running at Theater Building Chicago, which is 1225 West Belmont. You can call 773-327-5252. 773-327-5252 for tickets, or you can go to bohotheater.com.
Okay.
We run Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and Sundays. We've got Thursday and Friday is at 8, Saturday is at 5 and 9, and Sunday is at 6 o'clock.
So you do two shows on the Saturday.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the ticket price is what, $20? $25.
$20 to $25.
$20 to $25. And folks, you're going to see a show that's equivalent to some of those $75 and $85 shows downtown. It really is.
Thank you. We certainly feel that way.
And certainly it's as good as a lot of those bus and truck shows that come through here with a non-equity cast that they still charge you $50 for.
That
would
work.
But Eric,
real
let me ask you a couple of questions now. How do you prepare, like on a Saturday when you're doing, you've got two shows to do, and you're on stage all the time and you're belting, you know, how do you mentally and physically prepare for that?
Well, first of all, I sleep in a little bit because I don't make my living at performing. I have a 9-to-5 desk job during
the
week.
Do you really? You do have a 9-to-5 job?
Yep, you got to pay the bill somehow.
Yeah, I've been there. I know what that's about. Yeah.
But then, I mean, after sleeping in, you just kind of, you wake up, you think about it, you kind of go over the show in your head, but you just... You kind of just relax, get your body as ready as you can for the show, and
how about vocal warm-ups?
As soon as I get in the shower in the morning, I start.
Okay,
you have to prepare your voice as much as you can because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you may come in the theater and it can be incredibly hot, it could be incredibly cold, it could be really dry. You've just got to prepare your voice for whatever comes along, and you just, I mean, you go through the day. You don't want to expend too much energy because after, I mean, doing two shows back to back, 4 hours of dancing, singing, and acting, and whatnot. I mean, you've got to have your body ready for you.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you enjoy doing it. Just talking about it, I can see the gleam coming to your face. And if this was television, you'd folks just trust me on that. But now, what's your plan? Are you eventually going to be a full time? You going equity?
I would love to do it.
Because I'll tell you, I several people in town, very knowledgeable people, who I can't quote because they'll hit me over the head, have said, you know, they said Eric Lindell is as good as anybody equity. He could probably get roles at Marriott and so forth. But of course, that's a big jump. And once you're now competing with on that level,
right.
I know people go equity, don't get work.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing is I've always told myself once I moved down here three years ago.
From
Green Bay. That's where I went to school, my undergrad, at the UW in Green Bay there.
Gee, I wonder why you left Green Bay.
So I moved down here and just told myself, give it 5 to 10 years, work the non-equity, get it under your belt, start auditioning, get out there, get an agent,
learn your craft.
Right.
Yeah.
As much as as people don't want to say it, you do have to pay your dues.
Yes.
No matter where you go. I mean, even in the business world, you have to pay your dues. You have to start somewhere and keep working your way up.
Yeah, everyone wants to be they think they're the ingenue in 42nd Street, right?
Right?
It just doesn't happen that way.
No. Some people, though, it gets really lucky. I mean, you have the luck of the draw. I mean, I've got friends who are in the same boat as me who are working in other bigger theaters, but it's just if you're at the right place at the right time.
And if I can add into that too, that's one of the things that our company is really feels very strongly about, is bringing actors in who have that talent and have that passion and have that drive, but aren't always given the opportunity. Because they are new to the business or new to the area.
Well, Chicago's getting to be a mecca for people like Eric coming in town.
Absolutely.
Because opportunities are here. And a lot of the outside directors have told me they cannot believe the great pool of non-equity actors we have.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And even in the dramatic areas, as I'm sure Eric's aware of working at Circle, that there's a lot of older ones, folks who don't care to go equity, the Don Benders of the world, that have a nice day job and they don't need the benefits, and they act because they love it, and they could go into any major role in it and get work. So part of your mission is to give these people a showcase and work with them.
Absolutely. It's all about, for me, and hopefully what I extend to our casts, is that everything really should be a learning experience. There isn't a thing a day that goes by that I don't learn something about what I'm doing here. And hopefully the cast, no matter what their experience is, that from the person who's doing their second show to the person that's doing their 202nd, that they feel like they've grown, that they've gotten a little bit stronger, a little more confidence. And I'm a proud papa of these guys. I mean, they work so hard.
What Tim Gregory, when I talked to Tim Gregory, he was saying about, they just did Spitfire Grill
in the same place
you're at.
Yeah.
And boy, I hope the charm is working, because that's two great shows in a row in the same space.
Amen to that.
But he said the same thing. He loves to work with people, that he's got some people that are going to be going equity pretty
soon. Absolutely.
And that's got to be the fun of it. And that's how you keep the tickets right down.
Yeah. Well, that's hopefully what everybody comes in and feels, just that they really feel a connection for the story that we're telling, and for, again, how talented this group of actors are, because it really does, in my opinion, shine through.
Yes, and tell us the amount of preparation for this show. From your point of view of staging it, and how long the rehearsal process is. A lot of people aren't aware of that.
Well, it's Boho takes a very intense approach to the rehearsal process. We actually only rehearse for 5 weeks total, 4 weeks plus a tech week.
4 weeks and a tech week.
Yeah, that's considerably shorter than most non-equity theaters rehearse. Usually it's about 8 weeks.
Yeah.
But our feeling is, get in there, do the work, learn it, and bring it onto the stage, and bring that passion that you
But you
have.
Want them off book and knowing their songs on day one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're great. I mean, we set that expectation right off the bat of, this is how much time you've got. Trust us that you can do it, because a lot of them have not gone through that kind of experience before. And
Eric's, how do you handle that?
Well, the thing with non-equity stuff, I mean, like working out at Circle, it's anywhere from 5 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's... You get in there, you want to get to the point where you can play. You want to be able to see what you can bring between you and the other actors on stage. It's not, I mean, you can do all the homework you want.
Yeah, but you got
to
have that.
You have to have the other person there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the other people. But it's, I mean, there were a lot of. A lot of elements, especially with the fact that it is sung through.
Yes.
And that it, I mean,
and by the way, you handle that
opera.
Rather well, and that is really hard. And I hope they get away from it. I hate that in general. And Andrew Lloyd Webber put a curse on him for, I mean, talk dialogue. I mean, it was okay for Rodgers and Hammerstein and everyone else. But that's got to be an interesting challenge, right?
Yeah, that was the big challenge to start with. I mean, first of all, it's, you have to be able to tell your story. I fall into the trap of just singing the song for the sake of singing it sometimes. But in rehearsal, that you get over that. But what you have to do, especially with this, is you have to make it conversational. You have to be able to talk to the other person and still tell the story, even though you are singing awkward, really weird rhythms.
Yeah. Well, you did that well, especially with Brandon. That worked real well. You guys must have worked on it. And without that, I mean, you just have no credibility. Particularly in those early scenes when you're trying to coax the girls in the coming.
Exactly.
With.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, how's that as a challenge for you when you're doing an almost sung through show?
Well, you know, for me, one of the things that Eric and I, really all of the actors we talked about, was making it real. You know, these are real life people. Now, the Buddy's character was kind of an amalgam of several different real people in the Hilton sisters' lives, and so was Terry. But the bottom line is, I want the audience to be able to associate with them. And so it was a matter of making it conversational, making it real.
Well, the arrangements and the way the girls knocked out the big songs. I mean, yeah. There's two apps. Tell us the two great songs in this show that everyone's going to...
Well, the
one at the end of each... Pretty much at the end of Act One. And
absolutely. And the end of Act One is Who Will Love Me As I Am, which is a fantastic song. And kind of because they performed the Act Two closer at the Tonys, which is I Will Never Leave You,
right.
That kind of took over as the big anthem song. But Who Will Love Me As I Am is really the song that we grabbed hold of as the driving theme and context of this show, and those girls knock it out of the park. I mean, it's absolutely one of my favorite numbers.
And Eric, I thought you were terrific in the Tunnel of Love scene. That was a very tough
song.
Yeah, and selling it and acting it, because it's more than just singing it.
Right.
You have to. That's a key point in the whole play.
That's the point where it's both of the characters, Terry and Buddy, realize that they're in a little bit over their heads. And for my character, it's a point where I can't live through it anymore, because I've professed my love for Violet and things have happened. And it's just at a point where in the song, we're in the tunnel of love. It's all our thoughts. There's no interaction between the actors. Well,
that was
themselves.
So brilliant about the lyrics in this show. Mm-hmm. So much of it is what they're feeling,
right?
And that's hard to do. That separates the lyricist from the lyricist.
Yep.
But I thought you were outstanding in that, because that was a key part of the show. See, you got to be proud of that. Of course, you got to do it every night, right? Including in a few minutes tonight. So we're gonna have to sum this up pretty quick.
Absolutely.
So tell us. Sideshow, how long it's going to run?
It runs through July 9th.
July 9th.
You've got about, depending on when this goes up, you've got about 5 weeks left.
Well, it's...
All right, so you got about 5 weekends left.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, if it's anything like Wild Party, basically after our second weekend, Wild Party was sold out.
Good. How's it been going?
So far, really well. Okay. Yeah.
What's the future now for Bohemian, for Boho Theater?
Boho Theater, Bohemian Theater Ensemble, our next show, actually, we're doing Lorca's Yerma, that we're doing an original adaptation of it. Okay. Most people are familiar with...
When is that going to be about?
That is, what is it about?
No, generally, when?
When? We're looking at end of September through October. I believe it's going to be at Heartland Studio Theater, which we're working to revive as a theater house. And
That needs a little
absolutely
needs a little hose down. And
yep, absolutely. We're doing our darndest there.
Okay.
But yeah, we're very excited for the future.
But you're going to be doing musicals and
absolutely our next musical for the summer. We're proud to be the summer musical folks. And
well, that's good. And I keep finding these gems that no one's doing.
Well, next year is going to be The Life.
Oh, very
there
good.
There you go.
That's another one. even though some people say it's a remake of Sweet Charity, I don't think so.
Not how we're
But that's your
it.
Challenge.
Exactly.
All right, Eric, what's the future for you going to be?
Well,
what do you have coming up?
After the show, I don't really have anything booked. I'm just going to take a little bit of time off and work on myself, just do my day job and see what happens. I'll start auditioning again when you're in the rehearsal process for a show, you don't have time to audition, really.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
Once the show's up and running, you take your time
well,
for auditioning.
Well, I tell
and see
you, honestly, I have a feeling that the name recognition you're going to get from this show, that is deserved, because you've been a good player in a lot of shows, but you're one of what I call, if you had to say stars, you'd say all five.
Absolutely.
And you're definitely one of them, depending on, the girls were great, and you and Brandon were great, and Aaron.
You.
I mean, the five of you were fabulous, and I think it's going to help all five of you get other roles. Are you any plans on auditioning for like Marriott or Drury Lane or any of those?
I've done it here and there, but nothing so far. Knock on wood. Hopefully something will come.
It'll happen. Just keep up. You keep up doing work like this. It's got to happen.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Folks, go see Sideshow. You have, 5 weeks to see it?
Yep.
And I want to thank you guys. This has been great. And as I always say, go see a play this week. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for listening to this emboldened episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast, brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. But before I let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare quote of the week. This week's quote has to deal with praise, and it comes from The Winter's Tale, Act 1, Scene 2. Our praises are our wages. Well, thank you very much for joining us this week. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.